Aloha mai kākou. Welcome to The Music Within, our podcast focused on dignity, beauty, and truth. We are here recording in the lovely Honolulu, Hawaii at Holy Family Life Office. Mahalo for joining us today. We are super excited. We have a show up for you. Actually, we're growing and expanding in amazing ways, and we, as a board, just talked about expanding this audio podcast into a video podcast. So we're super, super excited. I just wanted to mahalo and acknowledge my board members. I am Maile Ayu Domingo, and we are Hamau Iloko Foundation. We are a nonprofit whose vision is to uphold human dignity and build a culture of family. It's funny because I was just talking to one of my mentors and we were kind of reminiscing about how all this got started. And we met in 2006 and we were talking about natural family planning. And then we said, hey, people want to talk more than just the 20 minutes they hear us talking on stage. And so we decided to have these like potluck dinners at our house and show videos and start talking about, you know, dating and human sexuality and watch these videos that were telling us about how good it is that we were made male and female. And, you know, our kids are growing older. They're starting to like boys and touch girls. And it was like, uh-oh, we better have some education. And that was in 2007. That's the first time we started to have potlucks and videos in our home to talk at. And from that tiny family gathering, we've grown into a foundation. And so it's really exciting. And today I have actually a special guest, co-host, because my usual co-host, Jimena Suarez, she is finishing up some professional certifications. So I have a special guest today. Who will be co-hosting with me today, and that is my son, Brian Domingo. You might remember him from a previous podcast.
Hi, everybody. I guess I didn't do bad enough last time because she asked me to come back. I'm really grateful for the chance to be back, and I'm hoping things are going well with Jimena and the work that she's doing right now.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's really just flying and achieving so much. She has a vision, and then she just pursues it. So I'm so proud of her. But she'll be back. She'll be back with us next month. So looking forward to that. In the news, there's actually a lot of political movement, more on the national stage. For the local items, I'm going to refer you to hawaiifamilyforum.org. You can go to that website and see how you can get involved in supporting the political climate here in Hawaii, and jump into things when the legislative session begins again. But in terms of the more national political climate, we wanted to just encourage all of you to be informed. Inform yourself and read up on what it means to have constitutional integrity, and in particular, the things that are going on in challenging the Bill of Rights, the original first 10 amendments that accompanied the United States Constitution. And of course, there's a lot of challenges with the First Amendment, with all the council culture, like, you know, not being able to speak our mind. And if we speak our mind, there's fear. And that is completely against our First Amendment rights. So be aware of what your First Amendment right is and how you can protect that right, mm-hmm. both as, you know, an individual citizen, but more importantly, as a community. Our Second Amendment rights, I mean, I know that Brian, you and our guest, you guys just had the opportunity to do some training to operate firearms and to really equip yourself with that knowledge and that that skill set. And I think that's really amazing, but it's just important to be able to protect yourself, to defend yourself, but more importantly, to defend all your constitutional rights. And so we really want to just advocate for more education in terms of operating with a skill set under the Second Amendment. And then one interesting thing is the challenges coming to the 10th Amendment, which is states' rights. And what was happening is in Arizona, they are doing an audit of all of the votes from November 3rd, 2020, to see an accuracy of the count. And what happened was there was a threat coming from the federal government's attorney general saying that they would step in and cease this process. And what was really awesome was that the attorney general for Arizona wrote a letter back to the federal government saying, thank you, but no thank you, because you, the federal government, are given the privilege of operating in our state. It's the state's collective agreement to allow the federal government to exercise some of their powers, but those powers have to be agreed upon by the states. And so it's not the other way around, right? I think a lot of us grow up thinking that the hierarchy is that the federal government is the papa and the states have to be obedient to what it says, but that's actually not true. It's the states, and so that have the right to exercise their powers. And in this case, do a free auditing of the vote count to determine whether or not the certifications of on record are true. And so I felt like that was such a great education, but backing up the 10th Amendment rights of the states and for us as citizens to understand that that's actually how our government is designed. And so anyway, get involved. Get involved and protect your rights. And so now we get to venture into the theme of today's show, which is success in dating. And I wanted to welcome, again, my co-host, Brian Domingo, and our special guest, Joseph Almuena.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, I'm actually Myla's other son. A really funny story, quick story, I guess. My older sister actually married Brian. And yeah, so now we're all family.
Yeah.
Joseph, great to have you here, Joseph.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Joseph's been hanging out with us since he was 7 years old. We'd go to the beach together, do spamusubis together, go on hikes, you know, have sleepovers. And I just have like this big pile of kids in sleeping bags in my living room. And so in Hawaii, we say hanai. So Joseph is pretty much my hanai son. Mm-hmm. And I can beat him up if I want to.
Oh, yeah.
And feed him when he's good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So anyway, I wanted to invite Brian to sort of touch upon some of those elements that we talked about the last time in terms of the levels of dating, the box. I remember the box. Mm-hmm. And that just intentional mindset to have, because I think that it will lay a great sort of platform for Joseph to step into and share his experiences on successful dating. And Brian, you know, you could probably indicate why Joseph has been successful in dating.
Thanks. Yeah. You know, so first of all, I want to say welcome again to Joseph. Joseph is, in my opinion, one of the most successful young men in dating that I know. And that's not something I say lightly. And I think a lot of people go around dating and, you know, if it hasn't gone the way they wanted to, then a lot of young people will just say, oh, I've had bad luck in dating. Well, I really believe in that saying where I believe that you make your own luck. And I believe that's definitely true when it comes to dating. So last time we talked a little bit about, you know, defining the parameters of a successful relationship. And me and Joseph have had conversations about that in the past. And, you know, it really just kind of flips the idea of dating on its head and says, even if you end up breaking up eventually, that relationship was still successful because I see relationships as really stepping stones along the path that God wants you to lead. And, you know, if you're crossing a river or across stepping stones, you're not meant to just stay on one stepping stone. You're meant to move along that path that God has designed for you. So sometimes that stepping stone is the last one on the journey, and sometimes it's not. And I also talked about the boxes of dating, the boxes of relationships, and just kind of segregating where you're meant to be in your relationship and separating those and really saving those as a gift for the other person in that relationship. And if you're fortunate enough, you'll be able to have that conversation with your partner, and that partner will want to be with you on that journey and also save those things with you for you along the way. I really encourage anyone who wants to hear more about those to go back and listen to our previous podcast, because we went into more in depth on those and we talked more about those. But like I said, Joseph has been really successful in his relationships. So we kind of wanted to bring him on here today and kind of pick his brains because, you know, he really has a really impressive thought process and intentionality when it comes to his relationships and his pursuit of the journey that God wants him to be on. So I think that is just so profound, and I think it's something that we all can learn something from, even those of us who are married, and even those of us who, you know, have been in long-term relationships. Or if you haven't, I think, you know, you can learn a lot from a mind and a thought process like Joseph has.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about what you want to share in your dating journey.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks. I was just thinking, you know, my story is a little bit different than Brian's. I was just thinking about my sister Ashley and their relationship and how, and watching them cultivate it and, you know, them grow. I literally saw Ashley since I was born. So seeing her and like watching her go through her relationship with Brian, that was huge for me. And I think one of the things that actually allowed me to kind of grow and have, you know, the mindset that you were talking about, Brian, and one of the things that led to having those successful relationships was I had people around me with great relationships, you know, people that I could talk to, people that I could, you know, pick their brains, you know, and I was growing up, you know, up until I was 13, I remember like girls all had cooties and everything, and I was just, no, I can't do it. I can't, oh, no. But I remember like one night, like me and God had this conversation, and I was just laying in my bed, just looking up, and I was like, okay, all right, God. Girls are pretty okay. They probably don't have cooties, so I think I want to get married one day, you know? And that's just kind of how it started. Just having the people around us that, or people around me that had, you know, really great relationships, I saw them grow and I learned from their mistakes and, you know, and their successes as well. Like I said, my story is a little bit different than Brian's. Brian and Ashley had, you know, that kind of relationship where it was like a one and done kind of deal, you know. They found each other, it was perfect, you know, then they, you know, they're off to the races, you know. And I got to watch all of that and it was awesome. My story is a little bit different. Since I was 13, all the way now, I think almost a little bit over 10 years, I've had, you know, been in and out of different relationships, and I think counting up, was probably close to around 3, 4, 5 different times where I was in a serious relationship. And it was kind of interesting because I never really thought of it as having so many different relationships. I felt like when I was growing up, it felt like, oh man, I didn't get that fairy tale ending. You know, I didn't get that, oh, that one person that I met for the first time and all of a sudden it was perfect. You know, we got married. No, it didn't happen for me. And I thought there was something wrong with me for that for the longest time. But then when I started talking with Brian, he was talking about how, you know, defining what, or, you know, what is a successful relationship? It's not that you did it once and boom, you're done, right? It's, you know, finding out, and, you know, that goal of just finding out who you want to spend the rest of your life with, you know. And then that was huge for me because it gave me a lot of comfort in my journey, because I realized that, like Brian was saying, you know, every girl that I was, you know, I had the honor and the chance to date, I could find out for myself, is this the kind of person I want to spend the rest of my life with? And if it didn't work out, then I found out the answer, you know, and that was huge.
That was a successful relationship.
Yeah. I mean, 80% of the time, it didn't feel like a success. But, but yeah.
I want to ask you a little bit because, I mean, I kind of feel the same way, right? Watching Brian and Ashley, like, that programs you to thinking that's how it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
Right? And shoot, watching the movies, right?
Yeah.
How many like young teenagey movies you watch and they find the perfect guy and that's the one they end up marrying, right? Mm-hmm. And there's nobody else involved in the picture and it looks so picture perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you were faced with the idea that that wasn't your story, how did you come to the place where this was successful and it's okay?
That's a good question. I think it was after, I remember now. I think it was after my second breakup, I think, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was talking to Brian, and then I think it really was just that conversation.
Mm.
You know, just him having him kind of define that for me. Yeah, that was pretty huge because it gave me a sense of comfort to be okay with myself.
Mm.
You know, and I really just took those words to heart. You know, I didn't try to resist that fact, I think, that mm-hmm. What he was trying to communicate to me. It was really that, oh, this is okay. You know, there's nothing wrong with me, you know, because I know this whole time I thought it was my fault. You know, I was like, oh, I'm the man in the relationship. You know, I got to make this work, you know.
Mm.
But it was, you know, when it didn't work out, it was, you know, that was okay too.
Yeah. Do you think you would have been able to come to that conclusion without talking to someone else?
Probably not. I think a majority of what I know from relationships, I found from other people.
Mm-hmm.
When I was growing up, I knew when I made that decision and when I had that conversation with God that girls don't have cooties, you know, I knew I wanted to be a great dad one someday. And mm-hmm. In order for me to be a great dad, I needed to be a great husband. I needed to be a great significant
Amen.
Other. I needed to be mm-hmm. a great mm-hmm. boyfriend. And I needed yep. to be a great guy that could attract the girl that wanted to date me, you know. And so that kind of led that whole process of me mm-hmm. just discovering. So I researched, I talked to people. You know, anytime I met someone with, you know, that's been married or, you know, had what I thought was a successful relationship, which at that time was just, you know, an amount of time that had, you know, was decades down the road. You know, I always asked them, you know, okay, well, do you have any advice for someone like me that's just trying to, you know, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. start a relationship, you know? And so.
So I have kind of a different question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph, what if you could look across your journey and the different relationships you've been in, what is something that you for sure have seen that you've done differently from other guys your age, other guys in the same place as you, dating, been through multiple relationships? What is it, can you point to maybe one or two things that you've done that is different from what other guys are doing?
Sure. I think one of the biggest things that was different that I did from other people that I saw that my age was I didn't mess around. I didn't date for the sake of dating. I dated with the intention that I was going to marry or find out if I was going to marry that person one day.
Wow.
You know, it wasn't like, oh, I'm just going to go, you know, casually date. You know, I since I was really young, I never really liked that.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, if you're going to do it, then you may as well, you're already dating, you may as well just figure out for the two of you if you're going to, you know, continue this or not.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. so I never played around. I never really, I always took every single relationship very seriously,
mm-hmm.
you know, because somebody else said this, but, you know, when you date someone, you're dating someone's future spouse. You know, whether they decide to get married or not, but you're dating someone's future spouse. And whether that's you or not, you're, as a man, you're responsible for that, you know? And if it's not you, then, you know, she's going to be someone else's future spouse. And, you know, if my future spouse was out there dating right now, how would I want another guy to be treating her?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so
that makes the boxes seem even much more important and effective in your relationship. Then,
absolutely.
Huh?
Yeah. And so I think that it was really just that and just being really intentional about my relationships. You know, I always one thing that I always did was, or not, maybe not always did, but one thing that I'd learned along the way as I went through each and every relationship and each and every breakup was I learned how to care for the heart of whomever I was dating, before we started dating, while we were dating, and during the breakup. I always wanted to set her up so that she was okay before we started dating, while we were dating, and you know, she had an ability to take care of herself and recover and heal after we broke up. Mm-hmm. You know, I always wanted her to, you know, if I could make it less painful for her, I totally would, that kind of a deal. You know, if we broke up, you know, if we were dating, I always wanted to make her, you know, like the happiest girl that I can, you know, and do the best that I can, you know, but
Great, Joseph. I think that really shows your understanding of the female spirit. I think a lot of us understand that women, one of the highest values that they have is security, right? Mm. So what you're doing is you're providing security. You're providing a safe space for her to join into a committed relationship with you, because there's security knowing that you're not going to intentionally do things to hurt her, or you're not going to put her at risk emotionally as much as you can anyway. I think that's huge, and I think that that lends a lot of makes a huge boon to your relationship. So yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I just want to edify that mindset, because as the two gentlemen are talking, I'm over here crying because I'm a woman. And to hear a man say that he cares about another woman's heart, whether she ends up being, you know, his spouse or not, that is a mindset that we cherish as women. That's a man can look at us not just as an object of their selfish gratification, but rather as a heart that they're concerned for. And I just want to quote Pope John Paul II. He says that the mission of every man is to uphold the dignity of every woman he encounters. And I just think that that mindset that you two, it's kind of funny, like they're not even explaining it. They're just looking at each other like there's a knowing, right? That men know. Yeah. And it's really beautiful. And I just want to edify that mindset and challenge you men out there who might be listening to this podcast, that I bet Joseph can go to bed peaceful at night because he knows he's stepped away from those relationships, or even in the current relationship he's in, with that mindset that I care about her heart. And so men, if you want to sleep well and you want to make a change in your life, I suggest you listen to these two podcasts and hear the mindset of these two incredible men, because they have picked up some of the wisdom of, you know, the men of history. And one of the questions that we all ask, not just men, but how do I live in such a way so as to be happy, you know, to be at peace with myself? That's a great theology of what it means to be human. So, hello.
I think that calling that you talk about, or that calling of how, you know, how can I live my life to be happy? I think what Joseph's talking about embodies that so well. If you guys think about the rom-com movies, like the romantic comedy movies that girls love. Like, girls love rom-coms, right? I love them too, but maybe that's just my more feminine side showing. But if you think about those rom-com moments, the moment that makes all the girls cry in all those movies is the moment when the guy realizes that. When the guy realizes that, hey, I actually genuinely want to care about this girl. I don't just want to have fun. I don't just want something for my own gratification. I actually genuinely want to care about this person, this woman. This is like the moment at the end of the movie when she's about to leave and she's sad and she's running away, and he's like, come back. No, he has that honest, genuine moment of, I do care about you. I do love you. And that's like, it's like they watch the whole movie and all the drama and all the fighting in that movie that happens and all the ridiculousness for that one moment. And I think Joseph, it's so powerful that Joseph has gotten to a point where he begins the relationship at that point. He starts the relationship at the point of, I genuinely want to care about this person and their heart. And that is, like, first of all, I think for women, like, super attractive, first of all, to walk into a relationship with that in mind, with that goal and with that purpose. So that is really huge. That's a hint for you guys out there. You know, if you can start the relationship and not have to rely on maybe certain things happening, or, you know, not having to rely on falling in love, for that to be your goal and that to be your mission in a relationship. If you can come into that with the first in the first place, then you already are starting off on a better foot than most people. So thank you for talking about that, Joseph. I think that is something really, like my question earlier, I think that is really different for most guys. I think most guys enter a relationship, you know, more cautious and more worried about themselves getting hurt than about the other person. Mm-hmm. So I think that goes a long, long way in your journey of successful relationships. And you know, I can honestly say that I've known a lot of the young ladies that you've dated in the past, and a lot of them are, I honestly say, are better off from having been in a relationship with you because of your heart and because of the way that you, because of the way that you enter relationships in that way. So I think that's really great.
Thank you.
I think there's something also to be said about that failure element when you do have to break up. And I think the most important part about the breakup is that you are able to tell the truth. First of all, to yourself, because you got all these red flags coming up and you're like, it's going to be okay. It'll get better. It's not that bad. You know, whatever we tell ourselves to ignore the red flags and then they get bigger or it's the same one. Yeah. And we're like, darn it. I need to tell the truth. But oftentimes the most difficult person to tell the truth to is ourself, because it does feel like failure. But with the proper mindset of successful dating, which is, who has God chosen for me? And this is just my discovery. It's my journey, you know, to take the next step on that path of stones and what was that analogy you started? I'm thinking of like stepping our hiking, our hiking when we're hiking across a little river or stream and there's all those stepping stones. You have to step on those. And you know what? Sometimes you step on one and it looks like sturdy and it's like wobbly and you like fall down and splash and get all wet. And you're like, that was messier than it could have been. That dating can be like that.
Oh, yeah.
But to understand that ultimately someone else has a better plan for us, and for us not to fight that, but to listen to that voice, that music within, because he's talking to us and he's saying, I have something better for you. Be patient.
So, Joseph, if you don't mind me asking, you know, What was the, like, when in the past when you've had breakups, and breakups are obviously, you know, very difficult and emotionally challenging, but in the past when you've had those breakups, what has been something that you tell yourself when you have that conversation with the other person? What is something you tell yourself about, you know, about, hey, how is this relationship meant to be? And then, so what is that conversation with yourself like? Because obviously it's very hard, you know, when you're in that situation. Mm-hmm. But where is your mindset, first of all, in terms of, you said, caring about that other person, should that breakup have to happen?
That's a good question. Let's see. I'm going to answer the second part.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So I think first and foremost, the first person I'm thinking about is always the other person.
Yeah.
Like when I was growing up and everything and going through these first few relationships, it was a little bit odd. I didn't really know much about how everything should work, but it was never about, I didn't really care how much that I got hurt and how much, you know, it hurt for me. All I really cared for about is how she was going to be,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
if she was going to be, and how much she would be having to hurt, if that makes sense, and how I could minimize that, and what's the best way that I can present or, you know, talk to her and tell her, you know, okay, well, this is happening, and I don't see that, you know, maybe if I'm breaking up with her, I don't see a future for us. You know, how can I explain that to her in the best way that'll allow her to, you know, not have so many questions and so many what ifs and everything, and not just, you know, go off in her head.
Right.
So that was like, that's always the first thing in my mind. I think
that's amazing because I know you and I know that you never want to devalue the other person,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So along that journey with, you know, having that conversation, what's in your mind is how do I, you know, not take away any of the value that this person has in their journey and their story, even though they're not meant to continue in my journey in this specific way, but how can I still, you know, not devalue that person, but, you know, still uphold the dignity of that person in a sense, even Amen. Though our paths are going to divert apart from each other
absolutely.
At that point.
And she's got all the questions that I have about myself too, for herself, you know, I mean, oh my gosh, this is happening. Is there something wrong with me? What did I do? You know, and then in my mind, it's the same thing. You know, all of this is happening and things aren't working out the way that they should be working out. You know, what did I do? Mm-hmm. And, you know, but I've just had a little bit more time to think about it, you know, did not do this very well in the beginning. It was all very messy and everything. And, you know, there's a lot more hurt that happened that, you know, didn't need to happen. But, you know, what was really great about all of that was that I was able to take away all the experiences and, you know, the mistakes that I had. And it's like, oh, okay, this was really bad. Next time I'm not going to do that, you know, and that allowed me to kind of grow. And then as time went on, each relationship after that hurt a little bit less and each girl hurt a little bit less. And now in the relationship that I'm with now, and you know, if this were ever to not work out, she is going to hurt a lot less. You know, because I was able to go and kind of go through everything and prepare myself and, you know, and to, you know, figure that out. And I think okay, to answer your first question, the talk that I had myself was kind of rough. but yeah, in the beginning, it was very much, you know, I didn't really care how much that I hurt. But at the same time, it was I would really beat myself up over it. You know, because before before Brian defined what a successful relationship was like for me, I hurt because it wasn't perfect. Like it wasn't.
You thought you'd failed.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It wasn't what everyone else was telling me how a relationship should be.
Right.
And it was hard. It was hard to deal with that. But then time went on, you know, we had that conversation and everything. It was like, oh, okay, this is okay. And now, my last relationship, it was a lot easier to, again, you know, spot out the red flags, you know, and even in the beginning when we were getting to know each other, you know, it's easy to spot out those red flags and, you know, I knew they were there and I continued to pursue that relationship. And, you know, like you said, you know, those red flags got bigger and everything. And I was like, oh, okay, that's a bit daunting, you know. And so that conversation was with myself was... it was easier to have, you know, I wasn't as hard on myself, you know, and I walked and, you know, and I did everything that I could in that relationship. Mm-hmm. And I walked away knowing that I loved as hard as I could. I did everything as best as I could. And I there was a lot of comfort, you know, this time around, you know? Yeah.
That is absolutely the truth because happiness is the byproduct of making right choices.
Yeah.
And so even in a breakup, you can walk away and be happy with yourself because first of all, you told the truth, right? Mm-hmm. About what you just could see that this isn't meant to be, you know? And the other thing was that what I love about your story is that you're talking about these incremental growths that you've had along the way. You've been able to identify like, okay, I could do that better, you know, and it takes revisiting, like, what was I like? What choices was I making? And more importantly, what mindset was I intentionally allowing myself to have in these moments? And I think that what I want to help the young ladies No, and older ladies for that matter, if you're entering into another relationship, is that as generous as Joseph is being in his language about the care of a woman, ladies, we are responsible for how we feel and for how we go through a good relationship, a tough relationship, or a breakup. It's up to us. I mean, it's nice that the tenderness is there from Joseph's intentionality, but ultimately I have to be the one that's like, okay, that didn't work out. Mm-hmm. Ouch. You know, and have your cry moment. I'm sure he does, because we all, in other words, it's all pointing to heaven, which is a place where there will never be any tear shed out of sadness, right? Out of pain. Like, it's painful because you're moving together. You're moving towards union. And then all of a sudden the truth stares you smack dab in the face and you have to say, it's never going to get together. Not the way it's supposed to be, because love isn't supposed to be so hard.
That was another big thing for me.
I talked about it in our last podcast. I talked about how, unfortunately, a lot of young people especially are defining a success relationship simply as being in one, right?
Yeah.
And I said, man, if the bar is on the ground, then you brought a shovel, because that is setting the bar really, really low,
yeah.
Right? But another thing to think about, Joseph, is as you identify that maybe this person isn't the person I'm supposed to be in a relationship with, but if you continue in that relationship, not only are you not following the path that you're meant to be on, but you're also keeping that other person from the path they're meant to be on as well. Mm-hmm. So Joseph almost has a dual intention when it comes to those breakups, because he understands that, yeah, this breakup, you know, is probably going to hurt a lot. But Joseph also understands that, you know, I need to do the best thing for this other person, right? And that may not be to be with me, yeah. Right? And that sometimes hurts even more. But as Joseph said, he's more concerned about the other person than, you know, than himself. And that is just so huge and so selfless. So yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I know it can be hard to talk about, but I think offering your perspective and talking about it here, you know, hopefully will give some of the listeners a chance to kind of have that self-reflection and understanding of where they're at in their own journey.
Thank you. And that was really, and yeah, that was definitely one of the big things that crossed my mind too. You know, just if we were to continue this relationship, you know, where would we be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, with these red flags, and you know, we at that time, I was doing everything that we were doing everything that we could to address it, and it just wasn't working out. And yeah. You know, I mean, 5 years down the line, where's that going to take us?
Right.
You know, are we going to be happier? Are things actually going to happen, or is this just going to persist?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Right.
But I wanted to go back to what you were talking about like those little incremental changes. There's actually a really great K-drama that Natalie and I watched called Sweet and Sour. And if you guys get a chance to, it's really, really good. It's all about relationship and everything. And I won't spoil it too much, but it talks about the cost of not being intentional in your relationship.
Mm.
And it portrays it in such a real world, real life situation. Mm-hmm. And it's so incredible, you know? And I was just thinking like, wow, if that was me, you know, where would I be? If I wasn't this hard on, you know, where I was and this intentional about my relationships, you know, where would I be, you know, now? I mean, 10 years later from 13, you know, crazy, but really, really incredible, incredible movie. Yeah. Very
Ooh.
Well done.
Okay. That might have to be a TOB night movie.
Yeah.
A new movie for date night.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about those incremental changes, and that was something that I really looked for when I was looking for my future spouse, when I was dating Ashley. You know, I even dating Ashley, as amazing as she is and was back when we were dating, I still came upon some red flags, and that's where that journey comes across. And you know, for the red flags that I encountered with Ashley, you know, I really had to think about it. And along the way, you know, I love this girl at that point, but I really looked at the future, and I really was able to see like, hey, if these red flags persist, I had to be honest with myself, and I had to have the honesty with myself that, hey, if these red flags persist and she isn't able to, or she doesn't choose to grow through and grow beyond those red flags, and that can be a multitude of things, but if she isn't able to do that, then am I going to still want to marry this person? You know, and for a lot of those red flags, the answer was no. And I was just fortunate enough to say, okay, well, we're just going to keep loving this girl. We're going to keep challenging whatever those red flags are. We're going to challenge them, you know, gently with love. We're going to challenge them and we'll see if she grows through them, you know? And the great thing, and fortunately for me, is she did. She chose, you know, she met those challenges head on and she was willing to grow and change through them. And that is huge. And that's, and for people listening, that can be any number of things. That can be, you know, personal growth and development that needs to happen. That can be, you know, issues in different values in regards to religion or family or faith or, you know, how you view the world. That can be any number of those things. And one of the things I've seen Joseph do is he's gently, caringly, on multiple occasions, challenged those red flags just to see if that other person is going to be willing to grow and change in those incremental ways along the way. Mm-hmm. Because if Joseph is going to be someone who's going to grow and change incrementally like that, then his partner is going to be someone who can grow and change along the way incrementally just as well, just as fiercely as Joseph does that. So I really challenge you to look for those and don't just see a red flag and then say, oh, I guess we're done here. You know, you want to look at those red flags, have those conversations with the other person and, you know, see if that person is going to be able to grow through those red flags, you know, because if they are, then you continue along that path, right? If not, then you really have to have those honest conversations. Say, if this person is never willing or making the choice to change, is this still the person that I'm meant to marry? Mm-hmm. You know? Absolutely. And those are tough questions. And I've seen Joseph go along that journey and I see him, you know, pursuing that thought process and pursuing those relationships in that way. And that's where we talk about that intentionality of being in a relationship, not just floating through, not just being one of those people that say, oh, I've had bad luck with my relationships. I talked about earlier, you know, we make our own luck, and that's one of the ways Joseph has definitely made his own luck in his relationship. So and I've definitely seen that.
One thing about the red flags is that I admired Brian and Ashley and their pursuit of someone else's perspective about the red flags that they saw. And they never tried to handle it or talk about it by themselves.
Oh, yeah,
they always went to another mentor, another couple, and someone that has wisdom that maybe it had experienced it before or, you know, went through the minefield of that red flag. And they never tried to do it themselves. And I feel that because they were able to draw on the wisdom of other couples in their life, they've had success addressing those red flags.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes we come across red flags and I was the one who was wrong about it. You know, that happens more often than I'd like to admit. So that's definitely a huge part of the reasons for our success and Joseph's success as well. We've done that. And the thing about that is of drawing on someone else's wisdom is as a couple, you both want to be kind of... how do I put this? You both kind of want to be even, like you want to be on even footing, right? You don't want one person to be, you know, higher or have more authority than the other person per se. So by, you know, by both of us, both, you know, the boyfriend or girlfriend or husband and wife, by both of us looking to a third party that we both equally respect in equal amounts, mm-hmm. then we're able to, you know, make a choice in humility and say that we're going to submit to the wisdom of someone else just in the off chance that I might be wrong, right? In the off chance that I might be wrong, we're going to submit to the wisdom of someone else who has experienced and gone before us. And the key thing about that is being very selective about who you listen to. I mean, those of you guys listening to this podcast, you know, you might have a huge amount of respect for, say, your parents or, you know, another couple that you might know, maybe your friends, but you need to ask yourself, do they have the fruit on the tree? Do they have, you know, the experience and wisdom and success in the areas of life that you want? So I think that's so key and so important to be selective about who you listen to. Don't just listen to somebody who's offering out free advice. Mm. You know, when me and Ashley started, we went to a couple and we said, hey, you know, will you mentor us? Will you, you know, show us the Theros because, and we chose that couple out of, you know, our parents and, you know, a lot of our, you know, family friends, we chose them because they had the relationship that we wanted. You know, they had the kind of love and fellowship and closeness and depth in their relationship after, at the time, you know, over 40 years of marriage. So, yeah, that's a big part of success is learning from those who are successful before you.
Absolutely. Drawing from the wisdom of others is, you know, it's sort of just like allowing God to speak to us through another couple or another person. And it's really beautiful. I know that for myself, they help me see my own dignity. And when I can see my own dignity, I can uphold the next person's, right? And I think sometimes maybe we don't give ourselves enough credit or we don't consider ourselves enough. And there has to be a balance, right? So it's beautiful to hear a young man like you, Joseph, having such regard, not only for yourself, but for the young woman that you have the privilege of encountering. And so it's been really great. Thanks, Brian, for co-hosting the show today. It's been awesome to have you again. I'm looking forward to sitting down with you and Ashley and hearing a little bit more of the details of those boxes that you talked about in
yeah,
the
we
last
can't wait to
episode.
Be back on.
Anyway, thanks, gentlemen.
Thanks, yeah. Auntie Miley. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us on. And Joseph, thanks for agreeing to come on and be vulnerable with us about your journey. We wish you blessings and success as you continue on your journey and your relationships, growing closer to God and growing closer to your significant other.
Oh, thank you, guys. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
All right. We hope you enjoyed our talk story today on The Music Within. You can find our podcast at our website, HamauiLocal.org. You can also visit our website to request our services or make a donation. We just want to thank you so much for joining us today. I am Miley Ayu Domingo, and this is The Music Within.